some messages about Hebrew in the book of Hebrews, and so I'm just excited about that. But let me just back up just a little bit and tell you, we had a great week. We were in Orlando, Florida. I took my staff from our church, from Harrisburg, and we flew down, and Carter drove down, and we met up, and we had an Airbnb. Do you know what I mean? Some of you have done that before. You rent somebody else's house out. This is one of those houses that was just phenomenal. Right, it was in one of these neighborhoods where all the houses are over $400,000, $500,000, and for some reason somebody bought this house and then they just rented it out because they don't live there. You can tell nobody lives in this house. And so we were there all week long, and then Carter and I got a chance to drive back on Friday to drive up from Orlando to here, which was about an 8-hour drive, and our wives were hoping that we would be all talked out when we got home. They were hoping. Sometimes our hope just doesn't get realized, does it? And so we've still been talking, we've been chatting a lot, and I am just thrilled to be a part of what is happening here at Fairmont First. I'm excited. At the church where I serve this morning, there's a friend of mine who's preaching there who happens to be a Baptist pastor. In his background. So the Baptist pastor is preaching at a United Methodist church, and a United Methodist is, you get it? You see what God is doing? Tearing down some walls this morning and opening some things up and stretching some people. And so I think what we need to do this morning is talk about what it looks like to stretch a little bit into a new level of discipleship and growth for your life and for my life, because I believe what God is calling us to is something more than what we have right now. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you believe that. But if you are thinking that God might be calling you to be something more today than you were yesterday and something more tomorrow than you are today, then just say amen. I didn't hear a lot of amens, so let me keep preaching. Obviously, I have to convince you because, you see, here's what I believe. I believe we are in a time of spiritual workout. I believe the world around us and the culture around us is challenging us to get back into the spiritual gym. Right? I'm going to use that phraseology that I believe that we have a physical workout to do. We need to stay in shape. Some of us need to get in shape. Some of us need to stay in shape. Some of you know what it's like to go to the gym. But I believe that we need a spiritual time of exercising our spiritual lives so that we can grow spiritually. And if we do, I believe there are some key things that we need to take a look at. I think there are some key tools that we can dive into to help us grow spiritually. Do you want to hear what I believe those are? I believe the first one is that we need a daily prayer life. I think you and I need to be talking to God, talking to the source of all of our resources every single day. If we're not talking to the source, then we're working out of our own power and our own strength, and that's just not good. That's not going to grow me. That's not going to develop my life if I'm not ever diving into the source. Second thing I think we need to do is that we need to daily to do something daily in our lives that is going to connect us to God and help us to develop devotionally. I think we need a daily devotional time. I don't know if you have a daily devotional time. If you don't, I'm just going to say this out loud because I can, because I get to get on a plane and fly home tomorrow. But shame on you. Did you hear what I said? Nobody got up and rocked out, so I think I'm all right. I'll keep going. So shame on us if we're not spending time daily with God in some way, learning and doing daily devotions, whether it's Upper Room or Our Daily Bread, or whether it's the YouVersion Bible app. So a lot of you have cell phones, and a lot of you are really tempted right now to pull your cell phone out because it's just what we do, right? It's what we, whenever we're just a little bit bored, and I'm going to try to keep you from being bored and keep you from that urge of pulling your phone out and seeing what's going on Facebook. But the reality is we have a tool in our hands and apps that we can put into that tool that will guide our daily devotional life. That app will actually send a message to you and tell you that it's time for you to do your devotions based on when you tell it to send that message. There is no excuse for us. Whether you can use your daily time when you're getting ready in the morning. You know when my prayer time is? The shower. That's my prayer that I start when I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, okay, God, what's my prayer list for today? And then I start praying when I'm in the shower, and that's my prayer time first thing in the morning, right? And then I have my devotional time, And then I have other times during the course of the day where I'm continuing to reconnect. Now you can say, well, you're a pastor. Of course you do. There is no reason pastors do this and other people don't. We all need to do this. We all need to function out of a deep devotional time with God. It's one of the skills, one of the tools in the gymnasium for us to build our spiritual lives. Prayer, daily devotion. Third thing, there's a third thing. There's actually four altogether. We're going here. The third thing is this. You need to be working together with another believer. We do life better together. Say that. Turn to somebody and just say, together. Together. It's true. We do life a whole lot better together. We were not meant to be solitary. We were not meant to be a monk in a cave somewhere. Most of us not, anyway. I mean, that's a very small calling for very few individuals. The rest of us, we do life together. And let me just tell you, life together isn't easy. Anybody have an argument this morning? Don't raise your hand. Anybody have an argument this morning with someone? Come on, let's get out of the house. Come on, it's time to go. Come on, get ready. Come on, let's. And, you know, we don't do life together all that well, and we have to work on it, right? But God has called us to do life together, and I believe we need to work on that. I walked around the building today. I got a chance. Somebody gave me, there was a class that gave me coffee. Thank you. I would still be this excited if it weren't for coffee, but one class gave me coffee. I asked one class to pray over me today. There were lots of classes, lots of groups happening, lots of things going on. That's what I'm talking about, whether it's during the course of the week at somebody's home or whether it's here on a Sunday morning. And please don't understand me. It doesn't have to be here on a Sunday morning. It can be at your home on a Tuesday evening with a small group of people to start growing your spiritual life. We need to be responsible for our spiritual development and our spiritual growth. There are reasons why we're doing this. And the fourth reason is this, the fourth element is because we are called to give all of what we receive back out to everyone else in the world. And you cannot give, let me just say this clearly. You cannot give what you don't have, right? You can't give what you don't have. I can't go to the pantry and make something if there's nothing there, right? I can't go to the well of living water if there's no water in the well. All I'm going to get is the muck at the bottom of the well, right? And I don't know about you, but every once in a while I've had people hand me some muck because that's all they got left, right? It's all they got left because they're not spending time in these other three areas. So when we serve out of the replenishing fuel that God gives us through prayer, daily devotions, and spiritual learning. And if we're not lifting these weights, all four of these things, all four of these tools in our lives, it's kind of like neglecting the things that we need for our physical life. Our physical lives will diminish if we don't spend some time doing some things like breathing, eating, sleeping, things like that, you know, just some of the basics. Drinking water, you know, air, water, food, and sleep. Now, it has been brought to my attention that if you're a woman in the room, you can substitute sleep and chocolate. That's what I've been told. Not sure. But if we're going to develop our spiritual lives, we've got to do something purposefully about that development, like you would if you go to the gym. Anybody go to the gym? You can raise your hand. Anybody go to the gym? Is there a gym nearby that you go to? None, but no, just nobody. All right, I got my work cut out. Wow, here we go. I have had times in my life when I go to the gym, and I think it's really phenomenal because the gym is almost a classic representation of the church, right? There are people in the gym who just don't want to be there. They know they have to be, they know they should be, but they really don't want to be there. And so their workout is kind of, you know, lame. And then there's the people at the gym, you know what I mean, January in the gym. You know, New Year's resolutions. Do you know, but by February 15th, most New Year, 85% of all New Year's resolutions are gone. Did you know that? We stink at that. We just really, I'm using a nice word, stink, right? We just, we're bad at it, right? And so you get all the push at the beginning of the year, and then it all drops off. You know, it's kind of like the Christmas and Easter people, right? You get the people in the gym who are just showing off and what I like to call peacocking. You know, they're in the gym and they're like, look at me. You know, every time they walk past a mirror, they do one of these. You know, you got those people in the church too, right? We had the like, I'm here, right? We've got, I mean, it's so like it, right? And then you got the person who just kind of moves from one piece of equipment to the other piece of equipment, but they're not really working out. They're just kind of there. And they've been there. You see no development. You see no growth. They haven't lost weight or gained weight. They haven't gotten as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, that's just, hasn't happened. You're like, why do you even bother? I don't want the church spiritually to be like the gymnasium. I think what we need to be is we need to be a health center, a spiritual health center that grows people into something that they're hoping to become. But more importantly, what Jesus is hoping we become. I'm going to say that again because I really did expect an amen. I don't think the church needs to be like a gym. I think we need to be like a health center where we can become what we believe God, through Jesus Christ, has called us to become. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so it's time. We've got prayer. We've got personal daily devotional time. We've got time in learning with others and growing better together. I don't know how many of you are in a group. I don't know how many of you were in a class this morning. I don't know how many of you are in a study group. I don't know how many of you are having coffee with somebody, but you should be. We really should be. If we're going to grow spiritually, because here's one of the most devastating things in the kingdom of God, that I am the same person spiritually today that I was last year at this point in my life. I think God weeps over the church being plateaued in its spiritual development. So it's time for us to start growing, because the world is the world we live in is in a direct result of us not spiritually bringing a full, revived life to the world around us. So it's time for us to do this. We are called to be, first teaching note, we write these things down so that we remember them longer, right? Here's what's devastating to every preacher on a Sunday morning. Within 72 hours, you will forget most of what I say. That's statistics. That's kind of sad. It makes me feel like my job's really hard. But if you write things down, you remember them longer. So that's why we do these teaching notes, right? The first one is this. We are called. God has asked you and me to be his hands and his feet in the world. Jesus said it when he was talking with his disciples. He is the resurrected Jesus at this point. He's having this great conversation with his disciples. He's called them to Galilee. And what he knows that they don't know is he's about ready to depart. Or what they called the ascension. You've heard some of those words, right? Very churchy words. In other words, he's out of here, peace, gone. Drop the mic, right? So he says to his disciples, that was all for all the young people in the room. Anybody over 40 just went, what was he talking about right there? All right, so he drops the mic onto the disciples and he says, here's the deal. The right hand at the Father is mine. There's a chair at the right hand of the Father. That chair's mine. I vacated that chair just a little over 3 years ago, came down to earth, did all the stuff I was supposed to do, died on the cross, rose from the grave, walked around with you as the resurrected Jesus. Now it's time for me to go back and take my seat. I'm going home. You guys got it. Can you imagine being one of those disciples? Can you imagine, like, we got what? Wait. We got what? He's like, no, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm gone. I don't care. You know, I got a seat to sit in, Jesus says. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sit in my seat. You've got it. But I promise you, you're not going to be alone. I will fill you with my Spirit. I will be present in you and with you. We call that the Holy Spirit, right? Up until this point, by the way, the Holy Spirit had only been given to those who were in charge and in leadership. King David, Saul, Samuel, prophets, judges. Those were the only people who had the presence of the Spirit in them. Now he says everybody gets it. You believe in me, I'm going to come and live in you. Everybody gets the Spirit. And so he says, I'm out of here. You're in charge. Go change the world. You're my hands and my feet. You're the physical presence of Jesus living in the world. I'm out of here. See you later. Literally, see you later. Some of us know what he says in John 14. I'm going to go build a house for you. And when I'm finished with your house, I'll call you home. So that's what Jesus says to all of us. You're my hands and my feet. And if we're going to take that responsibility seriously as ambassadors, as those who are speaking to the world and living in the world responsibly based on the faith that we say we believe in. How many of you here say you believe in Jesus Christ? Look at that. There you go. If you didn't raise your hand, you may be in the wrong place this morning, but we have a cup of coffee for you, I promise. But here's the thing. If we truly say we believe this, right? If we say we believe this, then there are some things we must do. Here's what we do. We say, Jesus, it's all up to you. It's all up to you, Lord. It's up to you. You make change. You make things happen. You make things take place in the world. Jesus, we're just going to let you have your way. We even sing that, right? Have thine own way, right? And then we forget that Jesus says, no, wait a minute. I dropped the mic. I'm out. It's your way. You do it. You do it. You bring me to the world. Let people see, as John the Baptist said, more of you, less of me. Some of you knew that answer. More of you, less of me. That's our responsibility. That's our work. We are to be his hands and feet in the world. And there are two reasons for this. First off, this is next teaching note, that we are supposed to be the presence of God on earth. It's our calling to be the very presence of God on earth. When people see you, they should see Jesus. They should hear Jesus. Some of you have said some things this week that didn't sound a lot like Jesus, did it? I'm not calling you out by name, because I don't. But we have done some of that. Let's be honest. That's why confession and repentance is a wonderful thing. But we are called to be the presence of God on earth. He says, I'm going to live in you. You go live for me. And by living for me, people will see me in you. If we're going to take this seriously, we've got to do some heavy lifting, right? It's time to get in the gym. It's time to start doing some spiritual work in your life and in mine if we're ever going to give this back. If not, when something happens in our lives, we are going to be left empty. We're not going to have the resources or the ability to do the things that God has called us to do if we haven't done the work in the gym. It's kind of like saying, you know, I got to do some work around the house, but I haven't done, boy, this is going to make me sore. I'm going to be sore in the morning. I hope that there's some Advil around, right? Because I got to tear down some walls or pull out the cabinets or I got to rehab the kitchen or the bathroom. You know, when you finish doing that, you're like, oh my gosh, because we're not ready. Jesus wants us to be ready so that we can be the presence of God on earth. Secondly, there's a second piece here. Ready for this? Wow. Okay. Here we go. God is moving. All right. Here we go. The second one is this, second teaching note. Because when we do this, we end up receiving more than we give. We end up receiving more than what we give. When we start giving things away, giving our lives away to somebody else, we end up receiving a whole lot more back. There's a principle. It's a biblical principle. Let me just review it for those of you who know it. Let me present it for those who have never heard it before. There is a biblical principle that says this, that when I give away something that God has given to me, God, in effect, finds me trustworthy because he gave me something so that I would give it away. You see, God doesn't give you anything expecting you to keep a hold on it. I know that's hard to hear. I know that's really challenging because we like receiving stuff, don't we? I just love it when God blesses me. We love saying to other people, I'm blessed. And somebody says, how are you doing? I say, oh, I'm blessed. God blesses us, not so that we can be blessed, but so that we can be, anybody can finish that? So that we can be a blessing. So that we can be a blessing. That's the reason God blesses us. God doesn't bless you so you can sit back and relax. I am thoroughly convinced that God blesses us so that we can in turn be a blessing to someone else. Those blessings, when we give, when we pull from those resources that we've been working on, when we do the spiritual work of prayer, daily devotions, learning in a group setting, when we replenish the well through those moments, then God says, look, take that and give it away. And when you do, I will keep filling the well because you, I have found you to be trustworthy with what I have given you. Because the principle with God is I'll give you more if you give it away. And the more you give it away, the more he will give to you. Go ahead and try to outgive God. Go ahead. Just try it once. Because Scripture says that God will pour out upon you the blessings from heaven. That's what it says. That's his word, not mine. Please understand, none of this is the gospel according to Dave. Thank you, Jesus. None of this. This is all his word for us. And so when we receive more than we give, we start understanding that principle. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love for him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that you hope that what you hope for will come true. Now, I want to point out something that God has called us to work. God has called us to work. That's his calling in your life and in mine. In the book of Hebrews, it's clear that God is not unjust. He's not going to forget how hard we've worked for him. When we work hard for him, he pours back into us. But I want you to hear two words in this passage, because here's two words that some of us stumble over. Life lasts. It says in here that we are supposed to do this as long as life lasts. You see, some of us have been thoroughly convinced through our acts and through the way we have been living our lives that there is a retirement plan in Scripture. And there is not. God has an expectation on every single one of us until we take our last breath. Until I take my last breath, God is still at work in me and in the world and is expecting me to keep living full tilt, 100%, all out, completely committed, completely devoted to him until I take my very last breath. Amen? That's the expectation. And some of us have thought, well, you know, let those young people take over the church. That's not happening. Not like it should. Because we have said, this is my retirement plan. We've said, it's time for me to kick back and let the church take care of me. We have said all kinds of things like that. Maybe you never said that. But we have lived it. Shame on us. It's time for us to start doing things as long as life lasts. So that by serving, next teaching now, you ready for this? By serving, we do the serving that by the serving that we do, it's our way of showing God just how much we love him. You see, it's our way of pouring back and saying, God, I love you. What do you want me to do about it? Lord, I love you. Have you ever run into somebody who says, I love God, but they don't live it? Three people in the room just nudged somebody. That's what we do, right? Like, did you hear that? You also just thought of two people who probably weren't here who needed to hear this message. But anyway, that's a whole other thing because we've been called to live this message out. But we've been called to show God how much we love him by serving him in the world, by changing the world, by doing things in the world. Now, I'm not talking about getting into a plane and flying to a third world country, an undeveloped country. I'm not talking about that because here's what I want you to hear very clearly. This starts in your home. If you can't do this in your home, You shouldn't be doing it anywhere else. If you cannot do this with the people who live in your home, who know you best, then you shouldn't be doing it anywhere else, because here's what happens. If you go out do it somewhere else, and then you come home, kick your feet up, and expect everybody to wait on you, the world uses a word called hypocrite to describe that kind of activity. So we are called to live this out fully and completely in the world that we live in. And the way to do that best is to do that at home first. That means doing things at home because you want to and you want to show God's love to somebody else. I know that that might be a stretch for some of you, but some of you need to start showing God's love in your own home to the other people who live in your house with you. Now, I'm going to meddle a little bit. That's when the preacher goes from just speaking the word to starting really touching on your life. But this means walking by the kitchen sink and stopping, and instead of yelling, "Who put these dishes in here?" just do them. Or emptying the dishwasher when it's not your turn. Or doing things around the house that just need done to show somebody else God's love for them. Do that first at home. Do it first at home, so that when you are sitting around the house with the people that God has given you to live life with every single day, they see Him in you and in your home. That's the first place it's got to start. Before we take this anywhere else, this has got to start at home. Just turn to somebody and say, "We're going to start at home. We're going to start at home." Secondly, we need to start bringing this into our workplace and into the marketplace. You need to start taking some of this to work. Some of us, when we walk out the door, we say, "Jesus, you stay here at home. I'll be back." Or sometimes when we walk out of church on Sunday, we say that, right? "Jesus, it was really nice engaging with you here. I'll see you next week." It's not the way this is supposed to work, right? We need to engage every single day in every single area of our lives. That means you take Jesus to work with you. You take Jesus to the store with you. So the other day, I'm having a meal with my family at a restaurant, and my daughter is sitting across the table from me, and my son-in-law is sitting beside me, and my wife is catty-corner across the table from me, and we just happened to order the exact same thing. Surprise, right? And so the server comes to the table and puts my dish down in front of me. Now, we were at an Asian restaurant, so my suspicion is that she was showing respect to the guy who's going to pay the check. So I took the dish, knowing that my wife had ordered the exact same thing, and I passed it over and gave it to her. And the server stopped cold and looked at what had happened, because being here, she had the tray beside her. Being here, she would have to walk all the way around to serve my wife that dish. She stops cold. She says, "You just made my day easier." You see, some of us have dropped into the mode where that was her job. Oh, come on. That moan should have been a little harder than that. Don't we do that? We just drop it. Well, that's her job. She's going to get a tip for that, right? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be served. What did Jesus say about service? Jesus said, "I came to the world to serve, not be served." If we're going to be His people in the world, guess what we got to start doing? Serving those who serve us. Loving those who do not love us. Caring about those, caring for those who don't know about Jesus. We got to start doing some of that. Not just in our home, because here's why this is important to do this in your home first, because those people know you best. They know when you're faking it, and they know when you're being real. Then we can take it out to the community and start living it in all kinds of great ways. When was the last time you asked the person who was running the cash register at the grocery store that you go to, when was the last time you asked that person how they were doing today? Some people every time. It's just a great place to be. It's just a great thing to do, because Most of them will be surprised, by the way. They'll look up because they're not expecting someone to ask. Because they're there, they're working, right? They're getting a paycheck. That's how we think. That's how they're there to serve me. They're there to care for me. Especially if the person in front of me has been rude. If the person in front of me in the line has been really rude, my first thing is I pray that that person doesn't go to my church. Lord, please tell me that person doesn't go to Cross Point Church. this happened to me not long ago. There was this lady, and she was complaining because the line wasn't moving long enough. She was in the express line, by the way, and she had way more than 10 items. I counted 25. She is complaining that the line isn't moving fast enough, and I'm thinking, Lord, please tell me this person doesn't go to Cross Point Church. Because she is just coming, are you going to open another line or what? She said out loud. So I got up to the person, my wife and I got up to the counter, and I said, how are you? Before I put a single item up, how are you? And she looked up. And it startled her that someone would care. That's the culture we live in, right? So she said, she stopped and she let her shoulders drop a little bit. You could see her body dropped a little bit, right? She took a breath and she said, you know, I think I'm going to be all right. I said, good, let's make this fun. Let's just make this fun. Let me help make your job fun. What can I do? So we started ringing everything up, right? I bagged everything up because, you know, we just expect somebody to bag for us. I don't expect that. I want to serve those who are serving me. Because, you see, here's the principle. I've gone to the well. My Psalm 23, my cup is running. And the world should be those who are feeling the presence of the overflowing that I have received in my life because I've done the work in the spiritual gym that I've been called to do. Are you with me? Anybody with me? All right. Let me say something to you that I think is a part of this whole principle. Next teaching note. You ready for this? I believe that when we experience the principle of serving and being replenished, that you will want more of it. You will become addicted to the sense of serving and being replenished, because you will feel that as you empty yourself, you'll feel God replenishing you, and you'll get a spiritual elevation out of that. I was going to say a spiritual high, but I'm not sure that's the right word to say. You'll get just the spiritual lift, right? And then you'll want to give more, and then God will keep lifting you, and you'll get addicted to the sense of giving and receiving, and giving and receiving, serving and being replenished, serving and being replenished, and you'll want more of it. And you'll want to do it every single day. There's a warning in this passage that I think we all need to be aware of. In verse number 12, it says this. In Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. I don't want to do that. I do not want to go to heaven and stand before Jesus as a dull and indifferent believer. I believe I'll get in. I'm just not sure I'm going to be applauded when I get there. Right? I think his saving me on the cross is enough to get me into heaven, but he's got work for me to do. And the last thing he's called me to is to be dull and indifferent. Be careful that we don't become dull and indifferent believers. There's a warning here. He says, I've seen what you do. I've seen your work. Be careful that you do not become dull and indifferent, because spiritually, if you do the work, you will stay on that peak. You will stay on that place of wanting to give. Have you ever been in that situation where life, just the bottom dropped out, and you thought, I don't have the resources to handle this, and somehow God got you through it? Because you had been somewhere, you had spent the time with him, and he had poured enough into you that you had enough to get by. Our job as the church is to make sure we're living our lives in such a way that we're spiritually giving ourselves what we need in such a way that we are ready for those moments in life, not only when they happen to us, but especially when they happen to someone else, so that we can be there, His presence in the world today. That's what we're called to do, to serve Him in such a way that Jesus sees Himself in us and the world sees Jesus in you and me. We're going to do a little bit of that today to show that someone said, I want to step up and be a part of that look in this church. I am proud and just honored to be here today. As someone would say, I'm willing to be, to step in and take an office in that church. In among you, someone has said, I'm willing to serve. That means we all need to be praying for them, and we're going to do that in just a moment. But when somebody says, I'm willing to step up and take a position in this church, it says, I'm willing to serve. That means also they take on the obligation of diving into the spiritual gym a whole lot more, right? Because the expectation just went up, right? Because now, let's just be honest, we're all going to go out and say that so-and-so became a deacon today in our church, right? So the expectation in our community here in Fairmont and in Robeson County is just going to be elevated for that person because now they're a deacon in their church. And we need to be praying for them, and they're going to need to dive into the spiritual gym a whole lot more. But this is what it looks like. It looks like, yes, I'm willing. Yes, I will live for Him. Yes, I will give. Yes, I will pour out my life. Yes, I will surrender. Yes, I will do more. Yes, I will work out. Yes, I will pray. Yes, I will commit myself to something daily in my connection with God. Yes, I will meet together with others who are other believers who can uplift me and encourage me and support me. And yes, I will give my life away. I'm gonna tell you something. Can we just be honest for a minute? I need a head nod. Can we be honest for a minute? This is going to cost you. This is going to cost you. It could cost you a cup of coffee with a friend who you haven't seen in years, but you felt the urge today to go and call that person because you need to give back into somebody else's life, and you haven't seen that person for a while, and you know that they used to sit right there. It may cost you to get up earlier in the morning, a half an hour early in the morning, just to do a devotional time. It might cost you. It might cost you time on the roof, nailing down shingles. It might cost you a tank of gas. It might cost you some of your valuable time. I'm going to guarantee you it's going to cost you. Jesus said to His disciples, it's going to cost you. You want to follow Me, it's going to cost you. You're going to give everything you've got, but His promise is this. Hear the promise. You ready to hear the promise? The promise is this. If you give everything away, I will pour everything back into you that I have from heaven, and you will never, ever be empty. So, as Don, right, the deacon, Ron, thank you, as he comes forward today to be ordained as a deacon, I first off, you're going to be asked to pray for him. That is just so immensely important as a person who's stepping into this position to know that there are all of these people praying. When I stepped into here this morning, there was a whole classroom who prayed for me. We can't do this without that kind of support, can we? So they need to know that you're praying for them. But they also need to know that you're willing to meet with them, support them, uplift them, and encourage them. I have gone way too long. And I hope that you got spiritually uplifted this morning, because what we're about to do is to see something that will spiritually uplift all of us. Let's step into this time of ordination. Can we do that now? Let's do this with just a moment of prayer quick, and then we'll dive into that, all right? Heavenly Father, You have blessed us this morning with Your word. You have blessed us this morning with encouragement. Thank You for Your word in our lives. Thank You for not leaving us sit where we were, but wanting more for us and from us. Thank You, Lord, for not being afraid to step on our toes a little bit this morning, or maybe a lot this morning. And thank You, God, Your promise is that you will never leave us, never abandon us, never go away from us, but instead fill us with your Spirit. Do that now, Lord, in every single one of us today in this room. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen. The